Good morning. I'm Pastor Joel. As we all continue to figure out how to navigate these uncharted waters during the COVID-19 pandemic, the members of Namekagon Congregational UCC in Earle continue to practice social distancing, and we limit our gathering for our safety and our community safety. While we continue to worship together on Zoom, we also broadcast our message here on Muskie 101 every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., so those without computers or high-speed internet can join us. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19 and 25 through 30. Jesus said, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Last week in our scripture reading, Jesus closed his instructions to his disciples before sending them out on mission with words of blessing for anyone who welcomed them, with even that simplest of gestures, a cup of cold water. And as we move into chapter 11, today's scripture, the lectionary, omits important parts of the story that might help us to understand it a little better. By this time in the story, Jesus has tasted the bitter cup of rejection rather than welcome. After sending out his disciples, he himself went out on a mission to their cities, teaching and proclaiming his message by healing the sick, raising the dead, and bringing good news to the poor. And yet those cities, we know from the verses we didn't read today, closed their hearts and minds to him. When we take a look at the approach of Jesus to mission, it's still a good way for us to look at things today if we want to evangelize, to bring the good news. And bringing the good news, according to Jesus, has to do with healing, new life, and justice. That's how you'll know the good news, when you hear, see, or even experience it. Jesus points this out to the disciples of John the Baptist who come to check him out on behalf of their teacher. And so today we might ask if our own ministry would identify us in the same way. Can people hear and see the good news in the way we live as much as in the words we say or the identity we claim as followers of Jesus? Just before today's passage, Jesus spoke of signs and prophets and the coming of the reign of God, and our seeming inability to recognize or accept it. And perhaps now, as we look at it, we are also this generation. Maybe we're like children who can't make up our minds about what we want or need or even how we feel or whether to mourn or to dance. In a lot of cases, we, this generation, never seem to be satisfied with what we are hearing and what we are seeing. Perhaps we're looking for something in between. However, Jesus is never something in between, and many people found it hard to accept him, even in person, even after witnessing his deeds and his healings. We can become so locked into this kind of negative response with everyone around us that we often miss the real thing. Jesus was not something in between, but was the real thing, and the cities he visited where he'd worked most of his deeds of power, were among those locked in the negative response. Knowing that negative response is key into understanding today's message. There are plenty of people in the Gospels who probably considered themselves learned and even wise. But Jesus' view of that kind of wisdom as an impediment to faith is no anti-intellectual defense of ignorance, but an impatience with closed hearts and minds. We often refuse to see the real thing, even when it's right in front of us. It is not always easy to recognize the real thing, even in Jesus himself. When we take a look at categories of things that people are used to, like this is the way we've always done it, our customs, our traditions, and even our expectations are hardened and grow heavy and become a burden to us. We've always done it this way. We need to continue it this way, even when this way becomes a burden. But the key here is that people always have to live in hope. Otherwise, how could we bear our existence in a world of suffering? Thomas Long writes that every generation wants something good for itself. The problem is the packaging. John and Jesus do not look like saviors. They use the wrong diet, the wrong music, the wrong companions, the wrong words. And this generation, like all generations, is scanning the screen of history, looking for hope, searching for salvation, but they cannot commit to either John or Jesus. Long, however, exhorts them and us to note the new and wonderful things that are happening because of the coming of the reign of God, healing, resurrection, and the poor have finally heard some music they can kick up their heels to. And that is the essence of wisdom. Well, we as adults, some educated, some not, well, we all tend to calculate and compare and weigh our options. But the hearts of infants, of little ones, are open to the good news that will change their lives and ours. Meanwhile, we ask, how can the poor in our day hear music that they can kick up their heels to? And who is most in need of the wisdom to acknowledge the path to such a thing? Do you feel that your heart holds such wisdom? And what is the good news you most long to hear? Today we heard the part of the verse where he says to let those who are weary come to him, where Jesus invites all of us who are weary and bearing heavy burdens to find rest in him. This perhaps is one of the most familiar passages from Scripture. And after many Sundays of talking about going out and doing the work and bringing the message and telling the good news, perhaps this is a good Sunday for a spiritual rest. Jesus uses the yoke as a metaphor for discipleship, but this day and age, most of us have never seen a yoke in action or felt a yoke. Still, we get the idea that it's something that's heavy, that's hard and burdensome. But Jesus kind of changes our understanding by calling his yoke easy and his burden light. There's an even more helpful way for us to hear his words. David Hallward tells us that a yoke both restrains and enables. It is simultaneously a burden and a possibility that no one lives without a yoke. Which one will you put on? Someone once said, everyone gives their heart to something. Be sure that what you give your heart to is worthy of it. Interestingly enough, compared to the difficulty of fulfilling all the demands of the many laws and rules, the work of Jesus is more like freedom. The beauty of this invitation that we read at the end of our scripture reading for today is it makes us think of the commandments that Jesus gave us about loving God and our neighbor. That love is a gentle yoke, not burdensome or weary. And when we talk about love here, it's not the romantic love of relationship. It is the pure love. It's not burdensome or wearying, but it's light. It's easy. It's pleasant. But we also need to learn from Jesus about how to walk the ancient paths that lead to peace and the rest of the kingdom of God and to inheriting the earth. Perhaps we make things more complicated than they need to be instead of accepting, like infants or small ones, the great gifts of God. Because as human beings, we continue to try to figure God out to fully understand, but God just eludes us. The understanding, the full understanding of God continues to elude us. But infants, they don't know anything. They have no pretense of knowledge. They have whatever has been given them. And they get to let God be God on God's own terms. I'm reminded this part of the story of my 8-year-old daughter. This week, she has asked me many questions about homeless. She has talked about wanting to just get in the truck and go for a drive and try to find homeless people so we can pick them up and bring them home so they can shower and be fed and so we can help them find shelter. She has wanted to drive to larger cities to find homeless people to help them out. And during her lunches, as we sit here at home during the week, has talked about how sometimes when she eats, she gets a little sad because she thinks of the homeless who are hungry, and she knows how her stomach might feel a little pained when she gets hungry. But she knows that she has food provided to her. That is barely filtered love. It is a love that comes with no pretense, no filter. An 8-year-old who just wants to help, to heal, to continue the message that Jesus gives to us, to love our neighbor and to love God. You know, we often think about our future and what it means to live up to God's word, and sometimes it feels like we're earning merit badges. If I do this, if I do that, if I earn this, if I earn that, when my time comes, I will have this sash of merit badges that I can show that I've earned the kingdom of heaven. But it's not like that. It's not like that because in that sense, we are making our own way. But Jesus's promise is different than that. Jesus's invitation is different than that. There are a lot of burden-bearing things that go on in our own lives, in our families, our communities, even the church. What are the burdens that you are carrying? When you come to church or when you turn the dial to listen in, what are you carrying with you? It's caused me to think, as a pastor, what am I bringing with me? What am I bearing on my heart and on my shoulders and in my mind as I write these sermons on a weekly basis? One thing I can tell you, and maybe you've experienced this, is that love and commitment have the power to make a difficult task seem more bearable, maybe even joyful. How might this yoke that Jesus speaks of be so satisfying to us, to our souls, that it is experienced as light and easy rather than heavy and burdensome? Jesus juxtaposes the learned, the educated, and the infants for a reason. A lot of times, a lot of learning and studying can lead us to maybe have a cynical edge. And while education is really important in a lot of ways, theological education sometimes leads us down a path of disbelief or limits our imagination. And sometimes it causes us to close our hearts and our minds to the real meaning of the gospel. And that's why this mention of children is so important to this message. Children allow their imaginations to run wild, where loving and caring not only is a concept, a foreign concept, but love and caring transfers into this idea and desire to go out and find the homeless, to bring them to your own home, for food, for shelter, and for care. In today's passage, it mentions an evaluation of leaders. that are judged by their outward appearance and personal practices, glutton and drunkard and has a demon, more than by the heart of the message that they preach. What does it mean to have a soul truly at rest? When are those moments and times when God gives us a quiet space, a time of relief and rest? Nima al-Arabi has a quote that says, "Make sure you don't carry the burden of the whole world on your shoulders, just in case someone needed them to cry on." And one of my favorite authors of this time, Rachel Held Evans, wrote, "The yoke is hard because the teachings of Jesus are radical. Enemy love, unconditional forgiveness, and extreme generosity. The yoke is easy because it is accessible to all, the studied and the ignorant, the rich and the poor, the religious and the non-religious." In this time of uncertainty, as the COVID-19 numbers are starting to increase all around and tumultuous nature of our world that we live in today continues to confuse us and continues to cause us to think and to change the ways in which we've known things to be for so long, that causes us to figure out how to redo church, how to reach out to people without meeting on a weekly basis in our congregation, that forces us to rethink how we've talked about people, how we have affected people negatively and maybe not even realized it. In this tumultuous time, we are reminded that Jesus invites us. Jesus has an invitation for us. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." From the members of the Namekagon UCC in Earl, may you have a safe and blessed week. Tune in next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another message. And when we begin to meet in person for worship again, I hope you'll consider visiting the United Church of Christ, a just world for all.